Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Leute, es wird unangenehm, denn ich muss euch einfach fragen, habt ihr euch eigentlich schon mal um eure Versicherung gekümmert? Hier ist übrigens Tara vom Podcast Tara sagt was und ich sage euch, es wird allerhöchste Zeit, Ordnung in euer Versicherungschaos zu bringen und dabei kann euch die App Clark helfen. Da arbeiten ganz viele Expertinnen, die das hauptberuflich machen, man glaubt es kaum. Und mit meinem Code TARA60, alles groß und zusammengeschrieben, könnt ihr euch sogar einen Shopping-Gutschein sichern, 60 Euro, bei zum Beispiel Amazon oder Douglas einlösbar, mit dem Code TARA60.
The Global Jigsaw is the podcast lifting the language barrier to show you the world through its media.
Радио Техран.
Мы не вторгались на территорию Украины.
The Western countries are not the international community. That era has finished.
The Global Jigsaw from the BBC World Service. Listen now by searching for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Welcome to In the Studio from the BBC World Service. The programme that follows some of the most creative minds in the world as they develop an idea from its very beginning through the artistic process right up to its introduction to an audience. I'm Ellie Simmons, a 5-time Paralympic gold medalist and a big fan of swimming pools. But I haven't ever really considered what it takes to design and build these magnificent buildings. In this episode of In the Studio, we're travelling to the Netherlands to meet a group of architects at Venhoven CS, a company who specialise in designing public pools and leisure centres. We're going to follow one of their architects as they sign off a huge project in Zoetermeer and start another in Delft. But before we meet the Venhoven team, I want to know exactly how to go about designing and building a swimming pool. Step up Chris Romilly, the co-founder of architecture practice Studio Octopi and a huge swimming advocate. He's designed a few pools in his time, so can definitely help us here. Over to you, Chris.
So to build a pool, you need to find a site. Now, the site is usually provided by the landowner, which usually is the council. We would then be able to write a brief. Concept designs will lead into a planning application, and the planning application then gets opened up to the community for consultation and response. When that is all agreed, we then move into a detailed design stage. And the detailed design is where it gets considerably more complex because we talk about how we're going to build the walls of the pavilion, walls of the pool, how much insulation we're going to need. Are we going to have a green roof or are we just going to have a rubber roof? Or are we going to have a sloping roof or a flat roof? All those considerations begin to get wrapped into this enormous package of works. So all of that package, you have a big team who pull all that technical data together sufficient to then go out to tender to builders to price it. And then once the contractor, the builder, is chosen, the project moves to site and the fun and games really start, because then you realise that, you know, there's been something which has changed and then you have to change all the drawings. But the thing begins to come out of the ground. And that is a process of a year, 2 years, depending on the size of the project, of fairly intense working with the contractor, with all the consultants, and again, the community can be involved in terms of feeding in and coming to be engaged with the process. I think that's really important to ensure that they understand what's happening and why it's happening. The project, obviously, because architects are involved, stays well on budget and then is completed. That's a very simple bullet point description, and obviously it's considerably more complex than that, but I quite like that description. That shows how easy it is.
Easy? Well, if you say so, Chris. Time to head over to the Netherlands and meet the team at Venhoven CS. The company was founded in Amsterdam in 1995 and has since grown into a renowned design and consultancy practice with an international team of architects, urban planners and technical engineers. Here's one of the business development team, Ilse Vershoor, to give us a little overview.
Venhoven is here in the east of Amsterdam. The neighborhood is called de Kadijken. It's a really old neighborhood in the center of Amsterdam. And our office is located in an old warehouse building. We have 5 partners and then 38 architects and then 3 technical engineers.
And because we love to set the scene here in the studio, we asked business developer Tom Versteeg to give us a quick tour of the offices.
Every team has their own little area. This is the team that's working on Delft for the moment, I think. This is a model of the Aquatic Center in Paris. It's all 3D printed because the Aquatic Center was made during COVID or designed during COVID. There were these digitized models for which it won an award because it was such a sophisticated model. And over here we have the desk where all the partners are seated. And behind them you can see into the model room. That's where all the modeling happens. And then as we go into this corner, it's because we do projects in Germany, France, even as far as China, with colleagues from those countries as well. Yeah, there's a bunch of nationalities that come together in these offices.
Excitingly, the company's biggest ever commission to date is just about to get signed off. It's the Aquatic Centre in Saint-Denis for the Paris 2024 Olympics and Paralympics. Iraldo Brendamata has been working on the Aquatic Centre project for over 5 years.
The Aquatic Centre is practically ready. They are cleaning up and building the last equipment for the Games. Last week, the commission made up of police, firefighters and all the party involved signed off the permit. We are delighted and we are looking forward to see the Games in there. Sometimes during the process I was like, I don't know if this is going to be feasible or be possible to build, but they did an incredible job. Looks better than the image we produced in the design phase.
Well, he's happy, but what about the boss? He's the founder and design director of the company, Ton Venhoven.
I'm very pleased with the result. We spent a lot of time optimizing the design and the theory that we developed during the design process of this hanging roof and the flexible, multifunctional building as a cultural center, the combination with the integrated bridge, a pedestrian bridge, the place for nature. It looks really great.
It's a brilliant feat of engineering and I cannot wait to see it for myself. And if you want to know more about the design of that specific building, you can listen to a previous episode of In the Studio, where journalist and broadcaster Agnès Poirier follows the journey of that building. But whilst the company basks in the glory of the Aquatic Centre, there are many other projects that still need their focus and attention. Let's meet one of the directors of Venhoven CS, Jos Willem van Oorschot.
I always wanted to become an architect, even when I was very young. I already knew that. I don't know how, but because I have no relatives involved in architecture whatsoever. Yeah, I liked drawing. I liked playing Legos, you know, that kind of stuff. So architecture was always on my mind, and then I started studying in Eindhoven. And I met Ton Venhoven as he was a visiting professor at the time. And quite soon after, he asked me to join his team, and I gladly did.
Jos has designed many public pools over his career and is currently working on another in the city of Delft in the Western Netherlands. Jos let us eavesdrop on one of his design team meetings to get a sense of how the planning was going.
Do we really need that much? Because it's really coming for a lot.
Yeah, so what we can do is also bring it slightly back. But as you can see, then it's a small gap.
It's about the space in front of the entrance. It's getting so small that actually it doesn't really work as a gathering space anymore. So I would say if we can push it back as far as possible still, that would be my preference, because You can see in those two options, it really sort of intertwines with the concrete there. And there is almost no space left.
With any project this early in the design stages, there will always be teething problems and lots of small adjustments to be made. The team working on the Delft project have drawn up 6 different plans already, each differing slightly in terms of the materials used, the size and how many windows there are. In about a month, the team will have a public consultation about the building based on their designs and brief. So we'll check in and see how that goes a little later. But how does an architectural company become a specialist in swimming pool design? Here's another of Van Hoven's directors, Manfred Vansink.
When you've done a pool once, they ask you to do another one. So 20 years ago, we won a competition for a pool here in Amsterdam. We got asked for the second, the third, and before you know it, you are a specialist in designing pools. And actually, we continue to do it also abroad, so in France, Belgium, in Germany as well. It's an interesting assignment to do a pool. It's a public building. You bring people together, and it's always a pool, but it's always different, of course, because it has a different thing that it can mean for the community around it. So the role it can play in developing a neighborhood. We try to do as much and as broad as possible. So we also focus on all the other subjects to not only do pools, because the things we learn in other assignments, we use it again in the pools that we design.
As well as being in the early design stages of the project in Delft, Jos Willem is close to signing off another swimming pool in Zoetermeer, about 40 miles south of Amsterdam. The building is 6,850 metres squared. It will house a 25-metre competition pool with a grandstand for 200 spectators, a small instruction pool, waterfall cave, whirlpool, toddler pool, sunbathing deck, an outside spray park, and a recreational pool with 3 slides.
I'm looking forward to going to the opening of the pool where we are going now, because this one has the longest water slide in the Netherlands, and I'm really curious how it feels when you go down. Yeah, we always bring our swimming suits for the opening of one of the pools. Yeah. Well, this is the new swimming pool for Zoetermeer. It's going to be called De Watergeus. The building itself is actually very subdued. It's been inspired by Japanese onsen, so the Japanese bathhouses. We wanted to make a wooden building, like a pavilion-style building in a park. We are in the Van Tijl Park, so it's actually surrounded by nature and trees here. And so we decided to go for Japanese-inspired architecture. It's all designed from a sustainable perspective. The sustainability in all of the installations is there, that we actually are producing energy with the solar panels on the roof. But also the structure is wooden, so we have a timber structure, also timber outside cladding. And yeah, that makes it a natural building in a natural environment. This part of the building has a glass plinth with windows that can slide up. So all of those windows, and also the windows on the side, they can all slide up. And inside there is windows in the roof that can also open. So in summertime, you can really open up the whole building and it will feel like you're outside.
Goedendag. Ik kom even bezoeken.
The project is due to be completed in May, but during this visit, it was revealed by Arie Loof, the builder, that there is a little bit of a setback. The glass that was meant to arrive to build the final wall of the whirlpool has got held up.
This is still 2 pieces, or 3 pieces. This one is glued in the fabric outside, and this one should be glued here inside. But we have a little bit of discussion with the company. This is actually behind. Should have been finished normally also in around Christmas. And then we had an extra, because the pool is not opening yet. It will be opening somewhere in May, June. So we still got time, but the deadline was end of February.
But Jos Willem doesn't seem to be worried about that. In fact, he's more concerned with some of the minor details of the building, which he didn't sign off on.
People are amazed how I can be unhappy visiting a building like this, you know? And I'm not unhappy. In this case, I'm very happy. It's a beautiful building. But then when you start looking at the details that are not according to the design and could have been done better easily, then I get annoyed. I've seen a million little things, but for instance, this sign here, it's way too big and it's unnecessary. It just points out that this is the reception desk, but it's obviously the reception desk. So they should not have put it there. I didn't design it, so it's like something that was added later. And that then is annoying. So those kind of little things will always happen. Always with all the designs, we pick some issues that we really want to raise here or we want to solve. Or like in this case, we really wanted to make a wooden pool. So that's where we started from. And then you have, of course, the program that has been decided before, how much water they wanted, how many pools, how many people for the restaurant and all of that kind of stuff. So then you start fitting that in, trying to measure how big things can be and how they relate to each other. So it's a sketchy design that has all the functions in place with a bit of volume. And then it starts to be more refined every next phase. So in the end, you really start thinking about all the details on how exactly, for instance, the connection of the wood is being done in a nice way. And so that's where it ends. But yeah, it all starts with a concept and a sketch design that just defines the mass. This is the instruction pool for practice. And yeah, it's open. I can hear the treatments going on. Yeah, so this is the pool for competitions. It has no diving board, so it's not so deep. It's only 2 meters, but it's really good pool for 25 meter swimming, because the club that is using this for training, yeah, they do this, and so we made it perfect for them. When you finish a pool as a builder, the water has to be in there. It's mostly in the description of what needs to be built, the water is in there as well. It's also a lot of water, so it's not for free. But it has to be in there to test all the equipment. And once it's in there, you have to keep it in there because it's a waste to not use it. And yeah, then it has to be treated to prevent it from becoming a green slur.
This is In the Studio from the BBC World Service.
Hallo, hier sind Julia und Chris vom Podcast Drinnies. Wir machen nicht nur einen Comedy-Podcast, sondern gehen auch leidenschaftlich gerne nicht zu Stoßzeiten in den Supermarkt. Ehrlich gesagt bleibe ich am liebsten ganz zu Hause und ziehe nur eine Hose an, wenn es klingelt. Wenn es euch auch so geht, dann ist HelloFresh genau das Richtige für euch. Der Kochbox-Lieferservice bringt euch frische, abwechslungsreiche Gerichte direkt vor die Haustür, die ihr im Handumdrehen selbst zubereiten könnt.
Und mit dem Code LECKER24 könnt ihr jetzt richtig sparen. In Deutschland bis zu 120 Euro, in Österreich bis zu 130 Euro und in der Schweiz bis zu 140 Franken. Also Code LECKER24 eingeben und sparen.
PS, der panierte Portobello-Pilz mit Sweet Chili Ketchup ist sehr gut.
Leute, es wird unangenehm, denn ich muss euch einfach fragen, habt ihr euch eigentlich schon mal um eure Versicherung gekümmert? Hier ist übrigens Tara vom Podcast Tara sagt was und ich sage euch, es wird allerhöchste Zeit, Ordnung in euer Versicherungschaos zu bringen und dabei kann euch die App Clark helfen. Da arbeiten ganz viele Expertinnen, die das hauptberuflich machen, man glaubt es kaum. Und mit meinem Code TARA60, alles groß und zusammengeschrieben, könnt ihr euch sogar einen Shopping-Gutschein sichern, 60 Euro, bei zum Beispiel Amazon oder Douglas einlösbar, mit dem Code TARA60.
The intricate details of designing a huge building like this are so important. The safety, ease of use, ensuring there's enough space for everyone, and of course, accessibility.
It's always about thinking not only to be able to get here with a wheelchair, but also to be able to use it as anyone else would do. So that's what is always in our mind. And here, for instance, that's another thing that I had never experienced before, but we learn all the time also about the different type of disabilities people can have.
There is one lady here in Tutomir. She has a disability and she has a dog that helps her undress and get dressed. So she will bring the dog here and will have the dog help her get undressed for swimming. We especially made a room accessible for the dog with a window so he can see her swim, so he can be at ease and she can reach the pool just like that.
This swimming pool is one of many projects which Venhoven CS have built for urban areas in the Netherlands to serve the community, something which is very important to the founder, Ton.
We live in a world more and more there are big divisions within our populations, and they fight over social media with each other, and I really don't like that. And when you look back in history, we have a strong history of the last, at least the last 2,000 years, probably longer, where society not only builds houses or workplaces, but also theaters, baths, all kinds of facilities where people can forget that they are a lawyer or a farmer. And they just sit next to each other in the bathhouse and discuss life. And this approach, this very ancient approach of such a public building and its role in society, that's what attracts me very much. So maybe it is one of the very few architectural programs that actually have this theoretical and philosophical aspect.
Chris Romilly also believes that pools are an important part of a community.
Swimming pools are very special. They're special for a multitude of reasons, but the bits I really like about them is that you don't only do swimming there, that they're a social hub, a fitness hub, and I think that there's something about the way they sit within a community which stitches the community together. In my book called Sea Pools, I talk about tidal pools being liquid piazzas. And I think that that name can drift across the aquatic landscape. Activities that happen in a piazza can happen around a pool, whether it's on the deck or in the water itself. These are important social hubs, like the village green, like the pub. And in the 1930s, the councils and the government wanted us to get fit and healthy. And so within the communities, they built lidos and they were used to improve the health of the nation. And I think we're returning to that in a post-pandemic environment, and thus our campaign group called Future Lidos.
One aspect of design we haven't yet explored is sustainability. This is at the top of the agenda when it comes to designing swimming pools in 2024. And for some of Jos's newest projects, it's quite literally at the top of his buildings.
The roof has been planted with green sedum-like plants, so it can hold more water. And the rest of the roof, the higher part, is with an energy-producing system, so the water gets heated through black pipes that are on the roof.
Here's Ton again.
Each time when we start a design for a swimming pool, we reflect on what would be the best, what could be the ambitions to achieve here. After all this social and societal focus, we concentrate more on how do we execute the buildings, how can we reduce CO2 in as embodied carbon in the building. We also try to make energy neutral buildings, which we succeed in if the client is willing to support us in that.
Despite the slight delay with some of the materials and the few design elements that need to be completed, the swimming pool in Zoetermeer is looking in good shape. But before we could leave, Jos had to give the outside one more inspection.
It's funny to see Jos checking and looking at the building. I think he's making pictures also for the team. We always document every visit that we go to. Every time we go to a site visit, we document the process. And also if he maybe sees a flaw or something, then he will make a picture of it. And the people who work on this project can see the development of the building.
Yeah, I know some little things that are not finished yet. So I will just send the pictures to the client to ask if they're still going to do that. Not important, but something that is just unfinished.
Before going back to the office, Jos was keen to show us another swimming pool that he had designed, just down the road in The Hague. Unlike Zoetermeer, this pool is finished and has been open to the public for 10 years. It's called Hofbad and is one of the first major projects that Jos took the lead on. This building contains an instruction pool, recreational pools and a 50-metre pool with diving boards.
Yeah, here we are at the first floor, so the view over the part that has the diving boards. There's 1 meter, 3 meter and 5 meter diving. This one is also for synchronized diving, that's why they are like twins. The big one is just, it's a fixed platform. But what we did here as well is add technology that can create a huge bubble. At the moment when the diver is making his dive and the coach notices that it's going wrong, instead of then crashing into the water flat out, they can press the button and a huge bubble pops up and you just sort of fall into bubbles instead. And that doesn't hurt.
So how much does a building like this cost?
Prices have gone up recently again. And it's really hard to say, I think the average cost of a pool could be around 3,000 euros per square meter. The installations are highly costly and also you need big spaces like this, so with big spans and large construction. So it's not the cheapest type of building. No.
In Amsterdam, Jos Willem calls a meeting with his team to discuss the swimming pool in Delft. Remember, I mentioned earlier that there had to be a public consultation. Well, the feedback is in.
People are wondering if it's going to be as green as we suggested. But yeah. Of course, that's a part of this nature inclusive design. We have designed the roofs to be able to be planted and also the facade to be able to have climbing plants grow up the facade. Maybe we should look at the suggestions for the interior. People are worried about the accessibility of the building for people who have visual disabilities. That one is of course very important that we also take that into account, that they can find the entrance easily, that there will not be any obstructions, and also for the contrast on the floor wall situations. And there's another issue raised about enough lighting. That's a good one. We have not made a lighting plan yet, but maybe we should ask the technical advisor where he thinks lighting fixtures should be according to the minimum lighting regulations. Maybe it's sometimes nicer to light the entrance a bit more, even more than regulation. Yeah. I think we should start with this quite soon.
It sounds like there's a lot to be getting on with, so we'll leave Jos and the team to it. So there we have it, a little snapshot of what it takes to design and build a swimming pool. The next time I'm in one, I think I'll have a whole new appreciation of it. And looking ahead, what can we expect to see for future builds? The last word goes to Tom van Hoven.
Most people now are talking about timber buildings to reduce the CO2 impact. I think we need to develop this discussion into something really sustainable. I wonder if we can do without concrete and steel. So I think the steel industry is now moving rapidly towards hydrogen-engineered steel, but the concrete sector is still a bit lagging. If through the BBC we can hear from a listener how to make really CO2 neutral concrete, then I'm very open to experiment with that.
You've been listening to In the Studio from the BBC World Service. Making a Splash was presented by me, Ellie Simmons, and written and produced by Joe Haddo for Spiritland Creative.
Thank you.
The Global Jigsaw is the podcast looking at the world through the lens of its media.
State media know which topics they can and can't discuss.
We fill gaps and connect dots to better understand what's happening in the world.
It's important to remember the context.
And untangle the narratives aimed at influencing your views.
Tightly controlled.
It's not so healthy to be a journalist there.
The Global Jigsaw from the BBC World Service. Listen now by searching for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.